All right, we're plugged in for Wednesday, the 15th of February 2023. It's the Kraz Files podcast with Adam, author and researcher Janice Barcelo, plugging in with me today for a chat. Always lots to discuss. And Janice, hopefully, will be plugging in each month when we pick a day, just to continue our conversations as we move forward. And strange times, to say the least. Oh, man, boy. Strange times, indeed. I always say that to folks. But, you know, we do our best and stay aware. Awareness is the key, conscious awareness of this system. We watch it like a hawk. And we stay interconnected and connected, and Janice doing a wonderful work. So we try to also on each podcast center around Janice's incredible work and books and this as we move forward as well. So last podcast show was amazing that we finally got out with Janice, looking at ultrasound causation. Prenatal ultrasound dangers. That was a really great show and up and out there now. If folks haven't heard that, I suggest you do so because it's really good. It's up on the BitChute channel and it's gone out on the feed as well and up on the krazfiles.com. That was a really incredible show with amazing information on this, and I am getting people in contact, you know, asking about this information. So it is good. And it's something you're going to hear us bring up, I would say, quite a bit in the shows. Head on over to krazfiles.com. Everything is up there now. So it's been a bit of work there. I've done a bit of work there this year already. But everything seems to be in its place and working okay. And always lots of great info going up on that website. And we are over on Telegram. And BitChute, and I think I did create an Odyssey account. There's only one view, but I haven't really done anything there. The video I put up, it's only brand new, so I have to start networking over there. But it was quite easy to set up Odyssey, and it looks okay. It's probably faster than BitChute, so I'll see how I go over there and just keep sharing. But get over to the website because everything's on there, and you can also sign up for a membership. That's a monthly membership, and that saves me doing Google or WordPress ads or anything like that because I run it myself, and members just help me to continue through each year. I do 1 year at a time, and it's a big, heavy website, and members help that backbone there. So it's $8 Australian a month, and all the info is up on the website. So just click on one of the banners. Any questions, give me send me an email, and everything is set up and working pretty good, I would say. But Janice, how are you going? I always feel like sometimes I'm running on empty. It is incredible times. How have you been since we last had a chat? How's everything going on in your neck of the woods?
You know, your language is interesting in terms of running on empty. I think this is really, really up. It has been up for me for a couple of weeks in terms of, maybe it's been up for me my whole life, really, in terms of not feeling supported. And I realize we're in a situation where the Jews have all the money and they do support each other, and they support the things that they want to create in the world, which are all evil and intended to harm us and harm the earth. But they fund each other and fund the evil that they want to bring forth. And our people do not seem nearly as generous in terms of supporting those who are trying to bring forth the good. So that's been up for me for a couple of weeks, because I am trying to bring forth a ministry that is, its purpose is for the incoming children, to create a space of protection for the incoming children, so they they won't be exposed to any radiation. Preconception or through conception and gestation or at birth or during the parenting stage to educate their parents about how to create, you know, conscious conception, conscious procreation, and how to create a new world by bringing children to the earth really according to the Creator's design instead of through this Luciferian technological nightmare that has damaged so many people. And I think this is such an important thing to do, but apparently very few other people think it's even worthy of donating a dollar to the creation of such, you know, such an, a mag, you know, what I think is a magnificent thing to try to birth on this earth. You know, we don't have any school in any country on this whole earth that I'm aware of that educates young people about how to create healthy relationships, how to choose a beloved based on authentic love instead of sexual attraction, how to understand the keys to preserving love in a family, how to create conscious conception and trauma-free gestation and gentle birth, how to be conscious parents. You see, there's nothing like that. They're being force-fed what we call sex education, which is a satanic education filled with nightmarish, ghoulish sexual acts that have nothing to do with bringing life here to this earth in the image of the Creator. So I think this is so desperately needed, but the challenge for me is getting other people to agree with me and step in, you know, and start trying to help. It's not something one person can create on their own. This is a very big thing, especially in the face of how much resistance we may get from the dark side as we try to bring this through. And also I'll say, Adam, I'm in a process because I'm creating the website for the ministry. I'm creating the homepage, a hello and welcome page. And I have beautiful pictures of people, couples that have given birth clearly in joy and love and ecstasy. And I've posted those pictures on the homepage to demonstrate what birth should be like. However, I also have to post images of what birth has been like, because we have billions on this earth that have gone through the technological system of childbirth, that have been attacked by the Jews, literally attacked through the medical establishment, and are carrying massive amounts of unresolved birth trauma that affects their lives, and it affects their ability to give birth gently. So we have to address the birth trauma. And of course, when I post those pictures, for example, of a young father who decided to circumcise his son and is holding in his arms a dying baby, which baby died from the complications of circumcision, which is a completely medically unnecessary surgery. Okay? So babies are dying for a surgery that's absolutely not necessary and during which no anesthetic is given to these babies. And then I have to post another picture of birth during the fake COVID thing. And I'm looking at an image of a mother with a mask on. Okay, her baby is next to her in a plastic bag. So here we have the baby is being suffocated probably it's been suffocated throughout gestation with a mask-wearing mother. Okay, now it's come out of the womb and is being further suffocated by being put in a plastic bag. The mom is being suffocated with the mask. Of course, the baby cannot breastfeed, although you can see its lips are taking the shape of wanting to wrap the lips around a nipple. Okay, there's no way this baby is going to be able to make contact with the breast or contact with any skin at all on the mother's body. And this is interfering with eye contact, which is a key to the neurobiology of love. It's interfering with pheromone information, you know, the smell of a baby's head transmits information to the parents. So the parents can identify this is their baby. They can begin to love their baby because that's what pheromones do. They trigger the neurobiology of love. But there's going to be none of that because of what they've done. And what I'm looking at basically is an attack against creation and an assault against the maternal-child bond. And this happens regularly in the medical system. You know, it happens every day, multiple times a day, and it will continue to happen until almost everybody has become infertile, either from getting the jab, a combination of getting the jab and the chronic exposure to wireless radiation. Of course, then, Adam, I want people to understand when I talk about birth trauma, I'm talking from my own experience too of birth trauma. And I pulled up a picture of me from 1998 with my infant daughter in a NICU. Okay, and looking at this picture, of course, you can just feel the grief that I was experiencing at the time. And my daughter, who was chronically put on paralysis drugs so that she could not move or cry while they were doing very painful protocols to her every single day, multiple times a day. She was never given any anesthesia, only paralysis drugs. So she felt everything, but couldn't do anything to try to fight back or even alert anybody that she was in danger. She couldn't cry. Her whole body was swollen to the point of really being ready to burst from the toxicity of their drugs. And she had needles, like you can see, there's a needle stuck into her. She's intubated. She's got IV lines in her head, almost every place on her body had an IV line in it. Her veins were collapsing left and right. She was in there for 2 months. She had sores all over her body, you know, from putting tape across her face and ripping it off and putting it on and ripping it off. And it was just so much brutality. And then she died, right, during a surgery, a tracheotomy. When I later realized they don't anesthetize babies during surgery either. They just paralyze them and cut them open. Of course she died. Of course these babies are dying. Of course they didn't do the surgery until they got me and my husband to okay organ donation, quote unquote. And I was later to find out that they can only use organs if the babies are still alive when the organs are harvested. This goes for adults too. Organs are only usable if you take them from a living person. So people who are registered for organ donation are tortured to death on paralysis drugs in the United States, no anesthetic, on paralysis drugs, where their organ, their bodies are cut into, their organs are ripped out of their bodies one by one, with the heart being the last organ to be taken, at which point they are finally dead. But these people are being tortured to death, as was my infant, my baby. So in going through all of this, there's like, I can't tell you the depth of emotions, even though this happened in 1998, we're talking 25 years ago. The intensity of it never goes away.
Is this what started you on your journey now? Is that what, where were you at that time when that happened? You weren't, studying the sort of things that you do now, where you are at now? You're just like a different person. How did this situation happen in the hospital at that point?
I had enough awareness to know that hospitals were dangerous. And my husband and I had done a lot of preparatory work to do a home birth. And we had traveled all the way to Florida to have a specific midwife attend the home birth of our daughter, which was a big deal, seven and a half months pregnant and up and, you know, moving and moving all of our animals. And, you know, we had a lot of pets. And anyway, when we got there, like 2 weeks before the birth, the birth center that this woman worked for, the midwife, told her she was no longer permitted to do home births or she'd have to leave the birth center. Okay, so Brian and I had to go it alone. And neither one of us understood how much birth trauma we were both carrying that was going to be coming into the birth field and influence our ability to give birth. Now, all of this is in my book, by the way. It's called Birth Trauma, the Dark Side of Modern Medicine. People need to understand that prior to giving birth to Anastasia, I had my own birth trauma from the way that I was born. And I had several miscarriages to deal with, what they call haunted womb shock. I had a lot of trauma in my womb, and I had a baby that I chose to abort. I had gone through infertility treatments because my husband had a low sperm count. This is a very long story. Suffice to say, my husband was adopted. He was a German baby, blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby that was born in Germany, somehow given up by his mother or taken from his mother, I don't know which, and adopted by Mexican parents in Tucson, Arizona. So,
jeez.
What's that? My husband had a lot of unresolved trauma, obviously, from never meeting his mother or father, not having any connection with his ancestry, with his parents, and being brought to this alien place, okay, of being in a Hispanic family raised in a Hispanic lifestyle, okay? In any event, he had a low sperm count, no surprise there, because he had a lot of ambivalence about pregnancy and childbirth. All of this was on a subconscious level. But it affects everything. If people understood how much this affects us. Okay, so we went for infertility treatments. They had my husband ejaculate into a cup by watching pornography or something like that. Then they spun his semen in a centrifuge and injected it into my cervix. I let some creature in a white coat come in with my husband's sperm. And this is how my son was conceived, and I wasn't told at the time that the drugs that they give you to hypoovulate actually cause birth deformities in the children. And I was told in the fifth month of pregnancy that my baby was severely deformed, that he had no skin on his stomach, and his organs were floating around in the sack, and his spine was shaped like an S. This is what I was told. So at the time, you know, I chose to abort my son, not understanding what was involved. Like, how do they murder these babies? I didn't know they were going to burn him to death inside my womb. That was not something I was aware of. And to some extent, I wasn't even aware that a baby was going to be killed, because I had been taught that it was just a clump of cells, okay? This is the nonsense that we're fed. So that the trauma of that, having to, now check this out, Adam, giving birth to my son in the exact same hospital that I was born in, okay, on very similar drugs to the drugs my mother was given, this experience was a repetition of my own birth in many, many ways, except that I was giving birth to a dead baby. And I knew that that was the plan. And I had to give birth because I was in the fifth month. So they didn't rip him out limb from limb, you know, rip off legs, rip off heads, rip off arms, the way they do when you go for an early abortion. They injected something into the amniotic fluid that burns the baby. It burns the baby's skin. The baby gulps it in and it burns the baby from the inside out. So my son came out in one piece. Now, granted, I was on drugs and I cannot even validate my own memory. But when my son came out, I don't remember seeing organs, you know, floating outside the body. I don't remember seeing a baby with a deformed spine. I saw a baby. There was nothing wrong, despite what they told me. And then you find out, you know, years later that they're using the baby body parts for a variety of evil things. And, you know, basically, Adam, my babies were sacrificial victims to the satanic system.
So of course, this is all in your writings. That is unbelievable. This happens. I know it happens. They tried to scare us when there was nothing wrong. So they've told you something completely untrue. Yeah. So that's absolute outright murder.
Well, my ex-husband could probably validate whether or not it was true. My memory, again, I was on drugs.
It's hard, yeah.
And it's very hard. And so he would be in a better position, but I don't even know where he is. You know, I don't know how to make contact with him or anything. It's very sad. It's very sad because when this kind of trauma happens, you know, the couple's love is bound to collapse because love cannot sustain itself in the face of the annihilation of children. You know what I'm saying? It's really a big deal.
That's what happened with your husband? You just fell apart.
Yes, our marriage fell apart. Our marriage fell apart.
That happens so much with kids, even kids who have accidents or die. They blame each other and the whole thing collapses, you know, when something happens to children within marriages, yeah, something bad happens or whatever. The loss of a baby, that, it can just be unbelievable, huh?
Yeah, but to understand, I mean, the reason I'm telling people all of this right now is when I went to give birth to my daughter, I was carrying massive unresolved birth trauma, and I did not understand the impact that this could have on my ability to give birth. So we went ahead, you know, this is my second husband now, and we prepared for a home birth. We were both on the same page. We had tremendous resistance to the medical establishment without really knowing why. But both of us had birth trauma. And when I tried to give birth, I was in labor for 53 hours. And something happened in the last 20 minutes where I think the placenta came apart, separated from the uterine wall, and my daughter lost her oxygen supply, and she was born not breathing. So when she came out, I was hemorrhaging to death. She was not breathing. She was rushed to one hospital in Miami. I was rushed to another hospital in Key West. We were in Florida. And it was the worst imaginable nightmare that anybody could have ever fathomed could possibly occur when two people who love each other as much as my husband and I did sought to bring forth a life and for the situation to end up the way that it did. And to watch my daughter in that environment, what they call neonatal intensive care, you know, to me, NICUs are the bowels of the Jewish underworld. They are a satanic hellhole where babies are tortured day in and day out. And any baby that makes it out of there alive is obviously going to have issues because of what that child, what they did to that child in the neonatal intensive care unit. Even something as simple, Adam, as putting a child in an incubator, separating the child from any connection with another human being, having that baby have no skin-to-skin contact. The only touch that the babies receive are painful stimuli, needles, intubation, whatever they're doing, 8 times a day getting jabbed in the foot. Really? To test the gas levels. I mean, and I go into detail about what they're doing in the queues in my book. Because people need to get this. We are dealing with a Luciferian cult that is using our children as forms of ritual sacrifice and torture. And they call this medicine. There is nothing beneficial about what they are doing to these babies. I describe experiments on preemies where they do experiments to withhold oxygen from the preemies or give them too much. They know that if they give them too much, the child will go blind. They know that if they give the child too little, the child will die a slow death. They know this. They've done these experiments multiple times, allegedly to discover, you know, the sweet spot where to put the oxygen machine. The absurdity and outrageous abuse and torture that is going on through the medical establishment needs to be screamed from the fucking rooftops to get people to wake up to what is happening, because people are under a spell. And they are stupid, and I'm not saying stupid, foolish enough to hand over their bodies and their babies to this sadistic cult. Almost as soon as a woman becomes pregnant, she'll go right to them. So these are big mistakes. These are huge mistakes, and it is one of the main reasons we are in the condition we are in, that humanity is such a pathetic expression of what it was designed to actually be.
Is it, Janice, this dark, satanic part of the medical system, it is really bad in the United States, isn't it? I mean, obviously, this is something that we do see worldwide. It's in every hospital system and medical system all around the world. The United States really is crippled here, isn't it? With you know, when you look at your book, it is in such a terrible state. If we look at it, it really is. And I see it here, and I would say it's probably just as bad in parts. But you know, I look at our experiences and stuff, and even though what they tried to do, it wasn't as intense as what you see over there. You know, this is probably would have to be the worst. Would you say in the world this kind of system that you're describing? It's really dark, isn't it?
It's extremely dark.
I mean, that is just terrifying.
I can't compare it to other countries because I haven't given birth in other countries.
I can say
the United States does have the highest infant and maternal mortality rate in the industrialized world.
Well, there you go. Eh?
Yeah.
And that's in the stats. Yeah.
The medical establishment is always tooting its own horn, saying how great they are, how great American medicine is, when, you know, the statistics are indicating just the opposite. This is the most dangerous place almost in the whole world, except for, you know, extreme poverty Africa. This is the worst possible place to give birth because of the medical establishment and what it's doing. They are killing people. They are killing mothers and babies. They are destroying families. And it's purposeful, Adam. This is very methodical. Every step of this is methodical. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. I just can't believe there's so many fucking idiots that support abortion at full term. Because they're everywhere. There's so many of them. They're always having these protests and complaining about everything. They're everywhere now. How could you support that? How could you support abortion at full term of a healthy child? And those videos, some of them, the things, I can't even watch any of that. The circumcision one was enough. The high-pitched screaming of the kids, you know, when they're getting circumcised, it's like, it's worse than any horror movie you could ever watch in your life, you know? And this is what's happening in modern hospitals. There seems to be all these, I don't know what you would call them. I don't know what these people who seem to support this kind of abortion industry. But as you said there, down in these hospitals, when they are taking these children out and they are doing this, they're selling the parts and all of this. It's ghastly. And it's just another party because they were around in Sydney, or they've been around recently having these protests supporting abortion and all of this. And I've had spoken to people about it, and they seem to think that it's, you know, perfectly okay if the mum decides that. It's such an unbelievable thing to me, and all through your work and all through your book, I know. But it's it really is incredible, and just on the back of what you were saying there, it is amazing with the medical system. There's so much fear and stuff in there, but people support it so much. And again, on one of our last shows, we were talking about the pregnancy, the pregnant mums. The medical system really preys on them most of all. Once you're pregnant, yeah, you get kind of fed into this system and they eat you alive if you're not aware. And look at you yourself. You went through this with your partners, and at least you had that awareness, that bit of awareness when all this happened to you, and look what happened. I mean, you really got eaten alive there, and you lost your babies. Look at most mums. They're going in so innocent and not having a clue that they're walking through the gates of hell, and in this situation, and they're capturing their minds and their bodies and their souls, everything, and they're taking over of that birth from day one. So it's like the mums aren't having their own natural birth in a lot of ways and doing their own thing and just having very minimal contact with this system. And that's what we tried to do. They're embedded in the system, constant, never-ending rounds of ultrasounds and appointments, and they get into their head. And you just think how many outcomes have been changed here all the time, you know? How many outcomes have been changed here where you've got a healthy mum who just got walked into this system and then ended up losing the child and going through hell when that should never, ever have happened. And it just shows you they're feeding on human life. It really is an incredible situation.
You know, as you're talking, there's so many things coming through my mind. Like, one is in my ultrasound book, The Dark Side of Prenatal Ultrasound. There's a Russian scientist, Peter Garyev, who had done studies on ultrasound, and he discovered that when you expose a molecule, a human cell, to ultrasound, let's say before you expose it, the cell puts out a melody. Literally, it puts out these different vibrations and tones. Okay, it's like a symphony that a cell puts out. And then you expose it to ultrasound, and it only puts out one monotonous tone. So he made a comment that they're destroying, basically they're destroying what it is to be part of mankind by exposing babies to this technology, and what it's doing, especially to the genetics, the DNA of the cell, which is putting out one monotonous tone instead of this brilliant melody that was original. So that research was very important, and it's that comment that he made is similar to what is said in the Ringing Cedars books, when she talks about, you know, the baby's body gets born. All right, but there's stuff missing from these children. I can't articulate it the way that she does. But basically, we're seeing bodies get born, and everybody says, just get over it, you have a healthy baby, right? But really, something has happened to this child that has changed its potential forever. And it may change the potential for all the children that come after, if this child can even reproduce after what it's been exposed to. This is really how deep it goes, that we're the babies are coming out. Here's the thing, okay? When you expose an egg, if you put an egg in water and you sonicate that water with ultrasound, it cooks the egg. It cooks the inside of the egg, but it leaves the shell intact. So you understand what I'm saying? That these babies come out and they look normal, but something has happened internally to their bodies. And we don't know the extent of the damage. I guess it depends on how long the exposure is, how many exposures, you know, how high the settings on the machine. You know, there's a whole bunch of variables here. But we know something is going to be different with these children. So this is, I can't think of a more urgent situation to discuss than what the medical establishment is doing to the babies,
boy,
and to mothers and fathers and families.
I've never heard that, Janice, about the cells putting out a melody.
Yeah, I could read
that
you.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
What is he talking about there exactly? Like, when is he talking about the baby cells inside when it's in the uterus, you know, when it before it's been born?
Let me bring up the document, Adam, because it's important to read this to you. He's talking about, I mean, he didn't obviously expose a baby to ultrasound. He took a cell. I think they call it in vitro. He took a human cell.
Yes.
Let me see if I can. Okay. He says this. I'm going to read this to you. You ready? After I'd exposed a DNA molecule to ultrasound, I noticed something that stupefies you. You see, normally in aqueous solution, DNA molecules produce a continuous sound. They create a complex melody with recurrent musical phrases. So, I irradiate it with the ultrasound waves of the same frequency as in diagnostic ultrasound. And what do I hear? Not a complex melody, but only one monotonous note. This means that by utilizing ultrasound, we've erased a massive amount of information from this DNA molecule. Then I thought to myself, oh my God, we don't have any healthy kids left. I mean, literally, worldwide, there are no healthy kids now because all of them, apart from those born in the wild tribes, are exposed to medical ultrasonography. This was dated, this was in an interview in 2013 that he said these things.
Christ, so this is like an energy that's coming off the cells. It's that consciousness thing. It's that energy that we're all part of. That implies that when it's been hit with the ultrasound frequencies, that it's shutting it out, and they're getting back like a drone.
Yeah, exactly.
A drone out of there. And this is interesting when you're talking about music there, because you have all these great creators of music in history that were born to do that music, where they play pianos and these great composers and stuff. And you hear about a lot of people how it seems to come through the DNA, like the music that they're playing seems to come through their DNA or from somewhere else. And then they hear it. There's been a lot of artists that I've looked into that have said that they hear these sounds and it's resonating through them, you know, and that's really, really interesting that this is coming through. This pure energy is coming through the cells, and they're basically killing that with this ultrasonography and ultrasound stuff. That's an incredible thing.
Let me read you another quote from him. This I don't think he's alive anymore, but he's a very important man. This is actually two paragraphs, so bear with me. Before using an ultrasound generator, DNA molecules produce sounds over a wide range from several to hundreds of hertz. And after using ultrasound, molecules sounded with special emphasis on the same frequency of only 10 hertz. This frequency remained the same for several weeks after the experiment, and its amplitude was not reduced at all. Figuratively speaking, the diversity of frequencies has been lost in the symphony of life, and one penetrating frequency tone has prevailed. Then he says, finally, the most striking was the following result. When they prepared a new DNA preparation and placed it in an old ultrasound-stricken place, suddenly the specimen began to show all signs as if it had been hit by ultrasound. After a series of tests, scientists came to a surprising conclusion. Ultrasound hurt DNA molecules, and they remembered it. DNA molecules have experienced a strong shock, after which they have long recovered and eventually created a wave phantom of pain and fear that remained in place for their terrible experiment. Under the influence of this phantom, even the second new DNA molecule experienced a similar shock that left them with the same consequences. Unbelievable that they have gotten away with using this technology.
They're snuffing out the symphony of life.
Yes. Yes. That's what they're all about, right? Is destroying mankind.
Crippling it, yeah.
Not us. All of God's creations are being genetically mutated through the wireless grid because every single ultrasonic device is emitting ultrasound. We're not just getting hit with microwaves. We are getting hit with ultrasound. That's why, you know, your freaking phones have all these ultrasonic apps.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
And I would highly assume they're already doing it. I know it's in dentistry and everywhere now. The ultrasound technology will be... I knew it was going to be a big part of the future. It's not just the machines when couples are pregnant, but they're going to incorporate this into all the tools and gadgets they use in the hospitals and the doctors use and medical system, I think, as well. And they're claiming that it's clean and safe and it's, you know, and it's better and all of this, but there's no limits, you know, to how far they can take the ultrasound, I think, in the medical system. And pass it off to the, to the people that, you know, as I said, this is a safe and effective and clean way that we're doing things now with these nice machines and nice gadgets and tools. And I think the longer that you're out of the medical system and you know all this stuff and you don't enter it, but then sometimes if you have to go and get something done or whatever, it's all these new tools and gadgets. Everything's changed. Everything's digital. It's just amazing.
You know, I recently had to go to the emergency room. I should have not done that, but I had a really bad bout with what I think is vaccine shedding from my chiropractor, who it turns out was triple jabbed.
Oh.
So I was deathly sick, and I was having very severe heart problems and scared, really afraid of what was happening. And so afraid that I decided to go to the emergency room. But while I was there, you know, as nice as the people are, everything they're doing is a ritual. Everything that they're doing is a ritual. So what you come in, they want to give you the hep lock, right? Stick something in your vein in case they have to inject you with some drugs. They're going to do an x-ray. No matter what's wrong with you, right? X-rays and, in my case, EKG, give you aspirin. And that's it, man. That's it. They did nothing. Nothing to help. Nothing.
Well, this is amazing thing. I don't want to say any names. It's just some people that I know. I know a married couple and the husband is jabbed. And recently the wife, who isn't, has started having heart palpitations and similar to that. She's had to go to the hospital a few times out of nowhere. And this is popped up recently after the husband's jabs. Could this be, like, looking at your case, is this because you're EMF sensitive, are these people actually acting as antennas and then putting that onto you? Because I don't understand how they could be shedding anything. It's a really peculiar thing.
They're shedding the hydrogel. So if you
out,
if they touch you. And in my case, my chiropractor was touching me. I was given in magnesium oil to massage my back because he massages before he cracks, right? So here, whatever's on his sweaty hands, whatever's coming out of him in the form of the hydrogel that's carrying the graphene oxide, okay, is getting transmitted into my body. I didn't know he was jabbed, or I never would have gone to him. I assumed he's a chiropractor and he knows better. That was my mistake, okay? He was freaking triple jabbed. So with a married couple, they're probably having sex, okay, and it's going to be in his ejaculate. It's going to be in his touch. We have doctors coming forward right now very concerned about the children of vaccinated parents who are showing these devices now are in the bodies of the children of vaccinated parents. So it's through the parents' touch that the hydrogel is being transmitted to the children and totally altering the blood of the children. And yes, the reason this hydrogel is so dangerous is because it contains graphene oxide that gives instructions for a wireless operating system to start assembling itself inside people's bodies. And it's only a matter of time before people die. They're going to develop blood clots. They're going to develop heart irregularities, all the symptoms that people would have if they were EMF sensitive like me. Okay, they're going to develop, you know, on an exponentially greater scale because they have become wireless devices themselves. You know, Adam, 2 minutes of exposure and your blood is going to start clotting. If you're standing near a Wi-Fi router, I'm not kidding, 2 minutes and your blood is going to start clotting. That's what it does. There's all kinds of documentation on this, and it's in my books. It's in my ultrasound book and it's in my wireless radiation book with images of what happens to the blood. This is pre-vaccination. There's so many studies on what it does to the heart, what microwaves do to the heart. You know, they can stop a beating heart with one frequency. They've known this for at least 60, 70 years or more. So we have a very serious situation who, you know, if you have children and you're not vaccinated, be very careful who you let touch your children or you. I'm a testament to the fact that this stuff is definitely transmissible. And I had to work to get this out of my body.
What did you do? What are the protocols for yourself after this to get this out?
I'm going to tell you what worked, okay, because I did a whole bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. What actually worked was sodium thiosulfate. I took, and this is not easy, man. This stuff tastes terrible, and your urine and poop are going to smell terrible. But I took sodium thiosulfate every night with ascorbic acid for 3 weeks in a row. Everything stopped once I started taking this. And this is stuff that removes the nanotechnology. It removes everything. This is really a potent detoxification thing for metals and nanotech. And if anybody's interested to know more, please email me at janicebarcello@yahoo.com, and I will send you a video of Tony Pantelleresco describing how to use sodium thiosulfate, what it does. Anyway, so it's very cheap, you know, very inexpensive, and you take it before you go to bed. And my guts were in an uproar, especially the first 3 nights, and basically the whole time. It's not comfortable, but it's not unbearable. You know what I'm saying? It's doable, and I'm a wimp when it comes to detox, but I knew I had to do this, okay, because I was not in good shape. I felt like I was going to die, and I was scared. I was really scared. So that immediately cleared it, but then like 3 days after I stopped the sodium thiosulfate, the heart stuff was happening again, and I'm like, shit, what is going on? So then I do more reading and I find out ivermectin breaks down the hydrogel. And I was able to get ivermectin And by the way, I have ivermectin if people need it, but you're not in America and it would be, you know, shipping prices, but I can sell it, you know, if people are interested and it's not illegal in your country. Ivermectin breaks down the hydrogel. So I took that for a couple of days in a row and I felt better. And then I also started using pine needle oil, pine needle tea from white pine. So what I'm talking about is a tree that has very long pine needles. And if you pull off one of the things, it has five needles on each thing. That's the white pine. And you drink pine needle tea, and it's got something called curcumin in it, which is apparently an antidote to what they've put in our bodies, including the graphene oxide. So I have been drinking pine needle tea almost every day, and also using cedar oil, which is the sister to pine. Okay, cedar oil from Russia, the highest quality cedar oil that I know of from the Ringing Cedars people in Russia. And I haven't had a problem since. I'm using that every day. So those are the things that I believe work. I tried MMS. I tried all kinds of supplements, like ridiculous amounts. People are saying, you know, I take NAC every couple of days, not every day. Something called EDTA. Somebody else was saying how you should go get chelation, EDTA chelation. But since I can't afford chelation, I just bought some cream that I put on the bottom of my feet once or twice a week to pull out some of this stuff. So yeah, there's a lot of different things that I've tried, but I really think the sodium thiosulfate is the key, and the pine needle tea.
This is the white pine needle tea.
White pine. You have to be careful. I guess red pine is not really too safe to be doing taking it every day type of thing. So you want to get white pine, and they have long needles. And if you pull one stem off, you know, you'll see there's five needles.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you identify the white pine.
This one's saying wild Canadian eastern white pine needle tea bags.
Yeah.
That's from a website about the spike protein detox.
Yeah. I don't think it's the spike proteins.
No, me neither.
I don't even know if spike proteins exist, because every image you see of it is like a cartoon image, the same thing they do with viruses. So I think it's the hydrogel containing the graphene oxide, containing.
That seems alien, the hydrogel. That's like what's in those alien horror movies.
That's what it is, Adam.
The black goo stuff, you know, that gets into people and spreads. You don't even know. Comes out of people's eyes and sweat and everything.
It is alien.
Yeah.
This is not the creatures responsible for this are not human. And they want us to be like them. They want us to be cyborgs like they are. And of course they hate God, and they take great delight in destroying all of God's creations. They think themselves very, very clever and advanced with what they're doing.
Yeah, that's.
But obviously, we are God's creations, and within God's creations are the remedies to this, and that's what we have to pay attention to.
Oh boy, yeah, I guess that's why they don't care about the anti-vaxxers. Because you're going to get it anyway. I mean, obviously we weren't injected with the COVID shots. So yeah. I think there's still a big difference. And I think there's still a big difference from that, but it's still going to affect certain people as it did you. Definitely. So at least one thing is we weren't injected directly with it. But this is the whole thing. You were covering ages ago. I know that they were talking years ago about that in Australia, where they have invented these jabs for cattle and stuff, where they only have to do a couple, and then they would vaccinate the rest of the herds.
Yeah.
So it's like that kind of technology. They were going on about this years ago, that they could vaccinate a group of people and they would possibly give it to everyone else. Yes.
Yeah, but of course, you know, people who didn't take the jab and get on it, once they feel the effects, if they got to start detoxing to get it out, you know. If you took the jab and you haven't done any detox, this stuff has been replicating and replicating. So it's going to be a lot more work for the jab to get it out. It's not impossible, but they got to get on it, you know, and they should not be around wireless devices. This is critical because it's the wireless devices that the graphene responds to, and it starts giving the instructions for the self-assembling stuff to start happening. So you got to get the jabs, especially, have to get out, get away from the wireless stuff, because it will take you down. There's going to be a day when you don't wake up, or you're just going to collapse to the ground, like we see so many people doing. You got to get it out. You can't just not pay attention to this if you've taken the jab, or if you have any symptoms, like the woman you mentioned who's married to a jabbed person. She's got a detox.
It's just going to get worse. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It's going to build and build until they're no more. It's unbelievable. It's really just overwhelming. The evil medical establishment, completely run by Jews. All of this is Jewish machinations, which is all the more reason we need to focus our attention on expelling them from the earth permanently. You know, just as in Star Trek, beam me up, dematerialize, get out of my reality.
Yeah, being fed on.
They are a fatal presence. Everywhere they
That's
go.
That's right. They show you what they are, too. Show you what they are. Look at Dracula. they use it as entertainment, but it's real. You know, there's a parasitic intruder in our realm, and it's feeding on us. It's eating us alive.
Quite literally.
And now it's given half the planet some kind of alien technology.
Yep.
In their bodies, you know, that they're spreading everywhere like some horror movie. It's crazy.
It is.
And the fact that so many humans could just go and line up and pull their sleeve up and get that injected into their body without even asking a single question as to what it is unbelievable. Because everybody I ask have no clue. They've never heard of hydrogel. They don't know anything about this. They just think they were vaccinated to keep them safe from a virus that doesn't exist. They have no clue. Even family members I've spoken to don't know what they were given. Oh, no, I know. Yeah, no, they told me it was safe. Who? Do you know what you were given? Did you ask anything? They didn't. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I know we talk about it a lot, but it's unbelievable how people bloody question everything. Everything, what car they want, what food they get from the supermarket, what they give their kids, they question everything, you know? I mean, you can't get away with much with people when it's to do with money and things like that. They really want to know everything. People are very inquisitive, you know? They want to know they're not getting ripped off with anything. They want to check everything. You see them in the supermarket with the packets of cereal holding the back looking. They've got a magnifying glass. What's in this, you know? Always want to know what they're having. I want to make sure. I want the best for my family. Yet blindly. Absolutely blindly, they just go down, pull up their sleeve and get that put in them. And this is the crazy thing. I have heard reports coming out of Europe, studies where they're saying all vaccinated people after 1 week, their blood's different. Their blood has been altered, changed, even if that person feels okay. I can't prove that. It was just reports that I read. And also that it has altered the genome, the human DNA, altered it. So we know that as well. Their DNA altering. So people might say, oh, yeah, I still feel okay. You know, I don't think I got one of the bad shots. But still, we still do not know. And as you said, Janice, if people got even specks of this hydrogel and this graphene oxide in their bodies, and that is still moving around there and growing, there's going to come a time when they do so, oh, my heart, oh, I don't feel well, and they're going to end up in emergency. That's coming. That day's coming. It's just that other people who are getting multiple jabs, 4 and 5, they're offering the 5th one. They're offering 5 at the end of February in Australia. Yet we have the biggest TV personalities in Australian television on Morning Breakfast Show on Today saying, I'm done. I'm not getting any more. It's giving people heart attacks. And you basically got a doctor on TV saying, if you get the 5th, it's really not going to work that well, and you're going to be back to square one after it anyway. And you've got a TV personalities on live TV saying, everyone's having myocarditis and heart inflammation. I'm not getting any more. I'm done with these jabs. And you've got senators on the floor of the Australian Parliament yelling this out about what this is doing to people. So it is really crazy. Maybe they just don't care, these creatures, Janice, because they got their job done. That was what we saw here with Operation COVID Shield. It was a fast operation to come in, inject, and go out. And that's what they did. And it was a militarized operation. And they used fear, terror, and propaganda to get those needles in arms as quickly as possible because they wanted to do it in this time frame. It was like we were moving just out of winter and they wanted it done by summer. And you're talking the space of a few months, they vaccinated, or they say they vaccinated, you know, almost the entire country bar 5% of us. And I'm one of that 5% according to the official stats, which I don't know about. But what I do know is every single person that I speak to and know, they're all jabbed, except for a few people that we meet and meet up with and stuff like that. But that was an operation to come in and do it really quick and then take that step back. And now they deny everything. But I think, God, maybe they just don't care. Maybe they've got enough people jabbed on this planet and their numbers were reached and now they've gone out. And they don't care what anyone says now. They just don't care. But I'm wondering, are we going to see hangings? Are we going to see heads roll? Are we going to see real – because we keep hearing about all these that it's going to happen and nothing ever happens. So I hope that day comes when these creatures pay for what they've done, because people are starting to find out now. They didn't know too much before. But now we said this, as the tidal wave brews, people are seeing their relatives and friends and that get sick, and then know it's the jabs or something to do with them because they were fine before that. And so now you're seeing a situation where people are starting to get pissed off. And they're getting angry because the systems are ignoring them. So I don't know what they're going to do here. That's going to be a mess as well.
Wish it would come to a head because I, you know, personally,
me too.
To see some of these people hanging.
Oh my God.
It would bring, as gross as it is, I think it would bring a sense of satisfaction to, to finally see them get their due.
I think a hanging's good, Janice. I think hanging's good. I think the kids could see it as well. I think that, you know, like in the old West, I think that's the best thing. And I like putting them in holding cells. So the anticipation of the hanging is worse than death itself because they've got to sit in there for days. And then when that hanging day comes, like they used to do in the old West, you know, and they take them out, it's clean. It's not bloody. It's not violent, really. They hang them. And the town people can go and see justice served. And they know there's no funny business. And I think that it's an old school thing that works, you know. And I think they should bring it back for them. But, of course, here they are going after us now. Here they are in Australia, Janice, wanting to alter and change Australia's counterterrorism laws. You know why? Because they want to add in sovereign citizens and anti-vaxxers into Australia's counterterrorism laws. That's how desperate they are because of the amount of people waking up and the information being shared. They want to label us terrorists just because. And the thing is, the media are saying it as well, that these jabs are killing people. But they're after the alternative media, the freedom movement, you know. And so there was a talk in Sydney the other night some friends went to. They said it was absolutely packed. all the way down the streets to hear these people talk about what's going on. So there is a big awakening, and I think people are starting to feel tricked. And we said this: people are going to feel very double crossed and tricked and used because barely a year ago they were telling you to get it and you had to get it and there was no other way and it stopped the virus and you have to come and get it. Now they just abandon everybody and don't care, and people are getting ill. And it's happening to their friends and loved ones. So they have to pay for what they've done. They have to.
Yeah. Not only do they abandon people, they gaslight people and tell them, you're
terrible.
Attack, or you need a psychiatrist, you need antidepressants. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, they're saying if you're saying anything about the jabs, or you're saying that you're ill, or someone else is, they're saying that you're mentally ill.
Yes. It's been the same thing when anybody gets sick from the radiation. They've been doing this for decades, telling people the radiation that you have a mental health problem, you know.
To cover for what they're doing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the whole psychiatry industry.
It's the Jewish way, you know.
It's unbelievable.
That is our problem. The Jews are our misfortune. They have to be dealt with. This issue has to be dealt with effectively, such that they cannot have any influence on the earth anymore.
I think it's happening, Janice. I think so many people that I would never assume would say this or be into this, they're into this now, and that's why they're revving up the Holocaust stuff. So we get out the violins and the sympathy card, you see. They want all our kids to study the Holocaust for some bizarre reason in schools, and they want to build the museums. And now they're bringing out all this anti-discrimination speak because it is really intensifying. People are starting to focus their attention now on the real enemy because they realize we're all being kept infighting and distracted all the time. But these particular entities, yeah, they'd probably be sweating a bit, but they always got the Holocaust card. You know what I mean? They always got that card to bring out. So it just stifles debate. Everybody runs from the room and you're a terrible person because these people went through the Holocaust. No, they didn't.
No, they didn't. It's all
that didn't happen. It's a crock of bullshit. It never happened. The real Holocaust is Hellstorm, what they did to Nazi Germany. Shortly afterward, read Thomas Goodrich's book. We look at the documentary. The firebombing, the mass rape and torture, the burning of German cities and people, the burning, the shooting down the boats, the mass rape of women, children, elderly people, you know, all over Germany. The media never, ever mentioned the real Holocaust. All you hear about is this Jewish thing, and that instantly makes you a bad person to the point when everybody's too scared to say anything because they'll just cut you off and cast you out, you know. And in some countries, you get put in prison for questioning it. Yeah. And all these authors and who've written all this amazing work on it, they're just zipped. Their mouths are zipped. You know, they're so sensitive about people discussing this, and it really gets you banned from all your networks and everything. They really come down hard on people, you know, when all we're doing is looking at history and what we've been spoon-fed, and we're trying to break this open so we can get the conversation going, but you're not allowed to. No, they want Australian kids going to Holocaust museums, and they want teachers in Australian schools teaching Australian kids about the Holocaust. And this is beyond belief, but this is what's going to happen. And all the politicians and the media, they're all under this spell. All of them, every single one of them are in this pocket of these people, and they do what they say. They do what they're told to do like puppets, and they do not ever, ever say anything about this. Otherwise, they are cast out big time.
Did you see the Romanian senator, congresswoman?
Yes.
This was so powerful because she named the Jews.
Yes.
She named the Jews about the earthquake in Turkey.
And, that's right.
You have to ask the question of why the women have more balls than the men today.
That's right. Well, was Turkey targeted, Janice, with weapons? You know.
Yeah, it looks like there's a lot of videos that have come out that you could see This was directed energy weapons just before the earthquake.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's what it's looking like. And
something to do with NATO and Sweden and something Turkey's done or said, and that's payback.
Yeah.
I guess this would be interesting in your research anyway, what kind of weapons they've got now and what they may be using to cause these earthquakes, you know, but it's frightening.
The suggestion is HAARP, but we have CERN in a much closer vicinity to Turkey than HAARP. So I would imagine that, and I added an excerpt to the second edition of my ultrasound book and my wireless radiation book about CERN. So I do think it can be activated from CERN, which is actually like a mile under the Earth. And the reason they built it a mile under the Earth is because of the radiation levels coming from this, whatever that is, you know, they built a huge atom smashing machine there. That's the, you know, they're trying to blow holes in the time-space continuum with that thing to let demons in. So I'm sure they can create earthquakes with it.
Mm.
That would be my guess.
Boy.
I know.
Unbelievable times, huh?
It's an interesting time to be alive and to watch this alien battle going on right now, what it's like to be at warfare with an alien species. That's really what's happening. And it's been happening, but now it's very visible.
It certainly is, Janice. We'll plug it out for today. Very interesting conversation as always. You want to plug out with your information and anything you want to let people know?
Yeah, just please check out my website at birthofanewearth.com. Check out my vision for the future. Check out my books, DVDs, webinars, all kinds of things there. And soon you'll be able to check out my website, my ministry website, and we'll be moving that forward. I'm looking forward to that. Manifesting.
Yes, yeah, so it seems like I know I was speaking to some people in Australia, and what they're doing is these families are getting together and pooling money, and they're buying properties, sort of what you want to do. And we spoke to a lady not long ago, actually. They bought property up the coast, and you can actually buy into it. And there's been a few of these. There's been a few property owners in Australia who have they're elderly, and they have massive properties, and you can actually pay them, like, say, $10,000, and then they give you a slice of the property for the rest of your life. You can have it. It's yours. And so I've seen this a little bit as well, where people are pooling their money in to do something. And but that's here. So I don't know what it's like over in your way, but there could be some people that have money, like that have money to invest, that love that idea of yours. But you would have to find out where they are, or someone would have to hear one of the podcasts or something to contact you, where they might say, you know, that is a really good idea. I will put in this amount, because they've got the money, and they, you know, a lot of people have that money and they don't know what really to do with it, and they want to do something good. You know, that could be an idea as well. I mean, it's just hard to know how, to make it work.
Those are the people I want to connect with, are people that are not Jewish. I don't want any Jewish money. Just go away if you're Jewish, because I have no interest. I want non-Jewish money, people that are interested in creating the good on this earth, people that are concerned about the well-being of children and what's happening to the children. And you know, the ministry itself has a path back to the Creator's design. And that's what we need. We need to come away from the technocratic world that has caused so much suffering and back to the path of the love of the Creator and understanding how to preserve love in families. It starts with the way we create life. So it's time we got on this so that we can actually bring children in who can have a good life. who are intact, who haven't been exposed to these technologies and all of this torture. It's time. That's my choice.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. I'll put all your details up and information, any new information, just link it through to me and I'll add it all in. Indeed. And really great chatting with you today, Janice, as always. Just stick there so I stop my file, but we'll connect again on the next one.
Okay. God bless, Adam. Take care, everybody.